You're listening to Missional Church Multiplication Week.
Yes, you are.
On the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Well, this week we are doing something special. Yesterday, if you downloaded episode 89, you would have listened to Alan Hirsch, the Godfather. And you would have heard Todd sing like that, hum like that. Actually, you know what? You know what's impressive about that?
What?
It sounds like you're using a kazoo.
But
you're not.
No.
That's just you. That's just raw. Me. That's raw talent.
It's all me, bro.
So yesterday you would have heard Alan Hirsch talk about how not to plant a church, but to start a movement. He outlines great foundations in terms of what it looks like to become a missional church. So you can take a look at that yesterday and download that. Today we are going to be listening to John Tyson from Trinity Grace Church in NYC talk about a multi-congregational approach to reaching a city. So we'll be playing that for you in a few minutes. If you didn't listen to yesterday's episode, this week
wrong with you, first of all?
Yes, that first and foremost, and you need to subscribe, but if you didn't listen to
that, leave a
rating
and review.
Exactly.
So I'm just trying to help you out, man.
Thank you. And if you didn't listen into that, you would have noticed or heard that we this week are going to be focusing, actually releasing an episode every week from our course. Every day. Yeah, you're right.
Every day this week.
Every day. Every day this week.
We release two episodes a week, Daniel.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you for correcting my my English.
If Ed was here, he English, would do the
same. Yes. So we are going to be releasing actually episodes every day this week, looking at 10 to 15 minute segments from our course, newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication. This is going to be a great way for you to get a taste of this course and just to actually grab a deal every day for if you purchase a course before midnight. All right. So today, if you purchase the course before midnight, you're going to be getting a free copy of The Church as Movement. This is a book by J.R. Woodward and Dan White Jr. And not only will you get a free book, but you'll also get a personal coaching call with J.R. or Dan White. These guys are the authors of this book. We partner with them to produce this course. They lead the V3 church planting movement. So definitely check them out online, and their link will be in the show notes as well. But if you purchase this course before midnight tonight, you'll get a coaching call from them and a copy of their book. This is not you tuning into a webcast or a conference call where there's 30 people and you can't talk. This is actually a one-on-one coaching call with them. So there's no coupon code for that, but you can do that tonight. And in fact, if you're a Plus member, not only do you get 25% off of this course when you use your Plus member specific discount code, but you're also eligible for this coaching call. So be sure to do that. Well, without further ado, let's listen to John Tyson.
Another question we get asked quite a lot about multiplying churches across the city is, what do you need in order to multiply? What needs to be in place? When do you know you're ready? How do these things come together? So I think for us, a couple of the core dynamics connected to that would be, well, number one, we want to find a person or a couple that have a real sense of call. We're not interested in just being driven by growth goals. Our vision is not just to be ambitious and see how many locations or churches we can plant. We want to make sure that the God of the universe, who is orchestrating his kingdom on earth, is asking us to do this. We don't want to birth Ishmaels. We don't want to do things just because they're good ideas. And we don't even want to do them just because we could or they're options. We want to make sure that we've got somebody who's got a deep sense of call on their life. And then we want to find a place that we perceive to be a good fit for the kind of church and church plant that we are and for that particular couple or that individual. We've learned that there's some neighborhoods that we don't do that well in. There's other neighborhoods we seem to excel in. So we want to make sure that the place is a good fit too. And another consideration we always have is how much other kingdom activity is happening in that particular place. I've always been moved by the Apostle Paul, who said, it is my ambition to preach the gospel in places where it's never been heard before. And so we want to say, hey, if there's six other church plants in this neighborhood, we may say, it seems that, there's a lot of good activity there. But if there's another neighborhood where there's almost no church plants or it's deeply neglected, We also want to try and disproportionately care about those places. And I think that we always try and make sure that we have enough relational prayer and financial support for the person going in. Church planting is hard. Pioneering new ground is hard. So we want to make sure that we help them raise money, that we give them money, that they have a sense of prayer and support, and they have the relationships in place in terms of coaching and accountability so that those things go well. So when we feel like these things come together, we have the right person with a sense of God's call in their life, we find a community or a neighborhood that fits them really well, and we feel like we can support them adequately rather than just throwing them out there, that's one of the ways that we determine it's time for us to multiply. Over the years, we've grown, like a lot of churches that grow reasonably quickly, we've grown from a very small pioneering band of close friends to in some senses now a mega church in terms of our size and staffing across our church as a whole. And so people often ask us, how do you stay connected? If this is about relationships, how do you stay connected? And so they often ask about our pastoral rhythms. How often do you get together with your leadership? How often do you bring all of your congregations together? How do you keep those things together? So our basic rhythm, it was definitely at the beginning easier to facilitate because it was just a lot less of us. And we would just do whatever felt natural and relational. And as soon as we felt separate, we just call somebody up and we go out. But we realized we'd have to make that a little more formal, a little more intentional over the course of time. So our basic rhythm right now, we've got 11 congregations. This would be our basic rhythm. All of our neighborhood pastors get together every Monday. It's the first thing that we do during the week. And our time together looks like this, some variation of this. We come together and the first thing we do is we pray and we worship. So we're just coming out of a weekend. People are tired. Many of them have just taught. And so the first thing we want to do is get into the presence of God, thank God, align our hearts with Him, and make the first thing we do as a team is enter consciously into the presence of God together. That's the first thing we do. Another thing we do when we get together is make sure that we communicate any shared communication or any problems or anything that affects all of our churches at the same time. There may be neighborhood concerns everybody doesn't need to know about, but there's often things that we do need to know about. So we will communicate those and make sure they're on the same page. We also do a thing called working teams, where each pastor is assigned to one of four teams to work on, create, and distribute resources that serve all of our neighborhood congregations. They work in four teams. The first team is the teaching team, which helps with sermon preparation, doing some of the framing of sermons, the commentary work on the sermons, bringing resources to bear on the sermons. Another group is our discipleship and formation team. They're basically getting together and developing resources and tools so that we can make better disciples in all of our churches. We have a leadership development team that works on things like, you know, elders, deacons, introduction to leadership and courses and those sorts of things to develop our pipeline for people coming to leadership in our church. And then we have a justice group that exists basically to ask questions about where the needs are, where we have partnerships, how we maintain those relationships, and how we help our people access opportunities to serve those in further need in our city. So every person is on one of those teams that exist to contribute to the whole. We normally eat a meal together. Food is important in the kingdom of God, and it's important in our church. So we try and eat together. We try and celebrate, and that's what we do every week. Several times a year, we get out of the city for a couple of days and we basically do a version of peer coaching. We get out of the city to various, we've done it at the beach before, we've done it up at the river before, we've done it out in the woods. And it's just to get in a different kind of space. So there's a distance from all of the activities so we can get perspective on what we're doing. And each church gives a presentation on our core mission, our core values, and our strategy, and they give a report to the whole group of pastors. I think there's 16 pastors now. They stand in front of them, and they give a presentation on what God's been doing in their church. And then those pastors ask questions about what's happening, and then whoever that particular person's coach is uses the feedback and the presentation for the coaching in their particular congregation. And so that's a part of it. We also do, to keep our pastoral staff connected, once a year, we do an all-expenses-paid family vacation at the beach. So we get everybody, their pastors, wives, their kids, and we take over a little spot out on Long Island, and we get together and we just swim, we laugh, we eat, we talk, we do a family concert. It's just like an annual yearly event to remind us that we want to be church and do it as a family. Twice a year right now, we bring all of our churches together from across the city into a large high school in Manhattan, and we do what we call an all-parish gathering. And that is when the senior leaders of our church speak into the vision and culture of our church as a whole. It's a big, feels like a big Old Testament festival where people come from all the city together, and it's just a big celebration. And this feels like attending a mega church on a Sunday morning. It's not our normal expression, but it definitely feels good a couple times a year to hear some senior level vision, to be able to worship as a whole and realize you're a part of a larger family across a city. That and a bunch of informal things that we do trips outside of the city, picnics, apple picking, Christmas tree cutting. There's these traditions and things we've done as a church that sort of supplement and fill that out as well. Another question I often get asked about a multi-congregational approach is, what is non-negotiable and what is negotiable in terms of your local congregations? What's non-negotiable for us, the things that have to be the same, we would say it's shared theology, shared ethics, shared practices, shared authority, and shared mission. So we want these things to be the same in terms of their heart and the strength of their culture in our communities, but how those things express themselves can be completely different. We have no desire to tell somebody how to do mission in their context. We just want to make sure that the right kind of mission is happening. So it produces this beautiful balance of being accountable and connected, but still having enough freedom to express yourself in the ways that God's wired your heart and the context demands it. And over the course of time, I think this is something, it's never going to be solved. It's always a tension that has to be managed. As we bring more people to the team, I think, you know, they're going to bring things to our culture that shape it. And so we do know what we're about at the core, but we also want to empower people to express it in the place that God's called them. So that's a bit about what's negotiable and what's non-negotiable. Another question we get asked quite a bit is, how do you raise up leaders? And this seems to be the thing which everybody's banging their head against. There's such a need for church plants, and yet it's so hard to find qualified church planters. We feel this pressure. We normally say our leaders are raised up relationally. They're not all raised up from New York. And it's just a part of the context we're in. Very few people move to New York to randomly floating around, volunteering in the church, possibly sensing a vocational call to ministry. Most people who come to New York have very expensive educations. They have a sense of vocational calling and mission, and they come to New York to do a particular job or career thereafter. So we may have less folks entering into the pool of eligible candidates for full-time ministry, but we certainly want to do a better job of that in the future.
Now, yesterday and today could probably not be any more different.
Yep.
Yesterday.
That's the beauty of it.
And I'm not just talking about their accents.
That's true. No. Because I have a confession.
What's your confession?
I didn't know who John Tyson was before I started listening to this.
It is shameful
because it was really good.
Yeah, because John Tyson's legit, man.
Australian accent. I expected more of a Tyson's.
And they're both Australians, but
accent.
They both have different accents.
That's true.
You know?
I don't know. No.
Yeah. Okay, we don't need to go into the nuances.
No worries.
Because I think John Tyson's from Adelaide, and there's...
Did you notice? I used an Australian. No worries.
All right, so yesterday and today couldn't be any more different because Alan Hirsch yesterday gives a great missiological framework foundation, and then John Tyson gets heavily practical. I love his advice on just the way that they structure their church, the way their parishes work. They're using more of a multi-congregational approach where there's live preaching in each location. Each campus has its own pastor, their own autonomy there, but then he talked about a bit about how they mixed central and, you know, how they centralized and decentralized aspects.
Yeah. I mean, it's something we've talked about on the podcast before, mm-hmm. From a DNA standpoint.
Yes.
You know, what's bucket one, what's bucket two, what's bucket three? What are those core things that we don't even think about changing that we all agree on up front? You know, just for the sake of clarity. And then it sounds like there's plenty of room for how the strategy is carried out.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, he talked about shared theology, shared mission, shared strategy. I don't think he said strategy, which is, you know, that's how they carry it out on their campus. They're not going to dictate how you live out this particular mission in your community.
Yeah. I mean, and on that note, I love this quote of his: more important than having a vision for a city is having love for a city. And I know with type A guys like us who want to just go get it, you know, do kingdom work, it's like, yeah, let's sketch out the vision. Let's sketch out what it's going to look like. But I love how he brought it back to the importance, to the first and foremost understanding that, hey, you actually need to love your city before you want to change it.
Well, and love your people, because what he's talking about next is really the discipleship/development piece, because there's really are two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the development piece. That is really your agents of implementation in your community. Because, you know, as he points out, church happens between Sunday. A lot of church happens between Sunday, Sundays. So, you know, I think he's really beginning to set up where he's going with leadership.
Yeah, so you can listen to the rest of his talk by getting the course, newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication tomorrow. And if you have not yet subscribed to our podcast, be sure to do
that,
because tomorrow it'll come right to your phone or your device, and you're going to be hearing from Money and Mission from Aaron Graham up in DC. So that's also going to be a great practical topic. Other sessions on the course are Tim Sorens. He talks about working for the common good in your neighborhood. AJ Swoboda talks about why sidestepping pain is bad leadership. Deb Hirsch, Alan Hirsch's wife, talks about incarnational practices. So be sure to go on the site, check it out, because there's a lot of fantastic and exclusive content that we have on this. And if you purchase this course before midnight tonight Central, you don't need a coupon code for this, then you'll actually get a copy of The Church's Movement, Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities by J.R. Woodward and Dan White Jr. And you actually get a personalized coaching call from one or the other author.
So, I mean, they're going to call you?
Yeah, like, no, this is not a group conference call.
This is one-on-one.
This is a one-on-one. That's and your dope. Voice is not muted. Like, this is actually a one-on-one coaching call.
Like, how long is it?
I don't know. I'm thinking at least 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it really is personalized coaching call with these authors and speakers from this course. So be sure to get that before midnight tonight.